All right. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us as we meet together this morning. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, understanding. Lord, help us be faithful to you. Lord, help us hear your word. Again, we just ask you to be with us. Lord, you give us wisdom. Again, in Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew. Chapter 25, we'll begin there, verse 14. Says, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to another 1, each according to his ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are a servant with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right. One of the things that I want to bring out today is that these servants, these slaves, recognized who they were and their place, and they honored their master. That's one of the things I want to bring out. You can see the humility. They weren't just their own. They knew they were servants. Even the one that was worthless, according to Jesus, knew that he was a servant. And he kind of put on a humble attitude and expressed how great and how demanding the master was. And out of his own mouth, even with that humble confession that he gave, he was still rejected. But he still recognized that he was a servant and that he owed his master. And I think that's one of the things that are missing in the world today. The attitude, the idea that we are all just servants. We are all servants. We like to think of ourselves as being free and we can do our own thing and we can be our own. But that attitude is not the attitude of a free person. We can be as free as a bird. No restraints, no restrictions at all. And be a slave. Or we can be in the deepest bonds of slavery and still be free. It's all about how we see ourselves. Jesus came to set us free. That's the whole thing. The whole idea of freedom is not that I'm not a servant anymore. It's that we can be free in our hearts. That we can be the lowest on the totem pole, the most servant of servants, getting no credit for what we do, and we can still be free. And that's the attitude that we need to have, and we need to possess, that it's so missing today. We live in a world today that people are so offended by every little thing because someone's got it better than I do. Someone's gets it easier than I do. Someone has it better. They've got more of everything. They got a better job. They got a better position. Just continually, the list just goes on and on. They live in a better place. Their circumstances are so much better. And the excuses go on and on and on and on. That is the epitome of slavery. It has nothing to do whether someone owns you or not. If you've got the attitude that someone owes you, you're a slave. That's the whole attitude of this world today. You know, I used to hear things in the book of Revelation. I grew up under teachers that, and I hardly ever speak about it, about prophecy. And they would read the book of Revelation and you would read the things that men were doing. The things that people would allow to happen to themselves. And I used to just sit and listen to that in amazement. That they used to teach about a time. And it's in the Bible. I don't understand it all and I don't try to. About the mark of the beast. That how people would be so willing and so sold. They'd take a mark in their hand so that they could buy or sell or just to do anything. They had to be marked. And the Bible says that those that had the mark will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I would just think, why would anybody want to have that mark? And they used to say the number was 666. And I remember one time whenever I was a young man and running around with some of the young men here in Monette and around the area. And we all had trucks and we all had cars. And one day, one of the boys, one of the rowdiest boys that there was, got a license plate and it had 666 on it. Scared him to death. He took it back and gave it to him and said, I want another one. I don't want that one. Because he didn't want nothing to do with it. And he had no inkling. No inclination seeming towards God at all. But he didn't want that because it represented the mark of the beast. And we're living in a time now that it just seems like people would, if someone just said that's what we got to do, people would be lined up to get it. And it just blows my mind to think about it. But this is how it happens. Whenever we allow ourselves to be so drugged down the road of somebody owes me something, trying to be a slave, being a slave instead of being free, it will take us much further than we ever imagined we would go. Jesus came to set us free. He didn't come just to so that we wouldn't sin anymore, so that we would live our lives and try to suppress the sin in our hearts. He came to set us free. Religion. Just these churches, these religions that try to create rules to try to suppress sin. What they're actually doing is compressing it. If you compress something, you put it in and you try to pack it in and pack it in and pack it in, compressed gas will fit in a little bitty container. And they just keep putting more in there. But the thing about it is, eventually, that compressed will explode. And it'll blow up. Some of the deepest and darkest sins you ever heard of are not by people just living out in the world. It's by people living under suppression, trying to suppress sin in their heart. And they just compress it and suppress it and hide it and compress it until it just finds a way out. Some of the darkest things that you could ever imagine, but still on the outside has that appearance. Jesus set us free. He came to set us free from those things. This parable of the talents. He gave one of his servants, or his slaves, 5 talents. He gave one of his servants, or his slaves, 2 talents. And then he gave one of them 1. How unfair can you be? How unfair is that? Isn't that just unjust? It's just wrong, isn't it? That one person would get 5 talents and an equal human being, another human being, would only get 2. And to add insult to injury, one of them just gets 1. What unfairness. What unjustness. The Bible says we're created equal. How is it that someone can be created equal and yet one of them gets 5, one of them gets 2, and one of them gets 1? And besides that, at the end of all of that, the one that got 1 got his took away, and guess who got it? The one who had 5. There would be riots in the street today if something like that happened. On the job somewhere. At the factory somewhere. There'd just be meltdowns all over the place. Just because we're created equal doesn't mean that we all have the exact same position. It doesn't mean that we're to share everything equally. being created equal means we have the same opportunity to be free as everyone else. And you can take that opportunity to be free and bellyache and moan and gripe because you didn't get what somebody else did, and be a slave and spurn your freedom. And just invite those chains of slavery and darkness just to drag you to the lowest depths of hell. And that's what they do. One of the biggest things today in this world, the most notable things, the most glaring sin is not the dark things that we would think about. It's this attitude that somebody owes me something and that I should get my fair share of what's going on. That someone's not pulling their weight. And so I'm going to whine and gripe about it until everything is smooth and equal. That is chains of darkness. That's chains. That's slavery. When you have the opportunity to be free and you choose to go hide what you're given, because it ain't fair, you'll lose what you have. This one wound up, it says, cast him out into outer darkness, gnashing of teeth. You see, all of us have different abilities. All of us have different positions. And you know which one you're responsible for? Yours. Yours. Not anybody else's, but yours. You know, it's not too fun sometimes when someone's not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not carrying their weight. What are you supposed to do about it? Sometimes you have to carry a little extra. Sometimes you have to carry five when somebody else carries one. And you can let that become a burden to you. And you can start putting chains on yourself about it. Or you can be free. This Matthew chapter 20. Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give it you. And they went. Again he went out to the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? Okay, this wasn't an 8-hour day. Wasn't a 6-hour day. Wasn't a 4-hour day. It was a 12-hour day. And he agreed. The man agreed. Made the agreement with the people who went out bright and early in the morning. Said, I'm going to pay you a day's wage. He went out 3 hours later. And he found some people that weren't working. He said, go to work and I'll make it right with you. And he went out 3 hours later, found some more. Go to work and I'll make it right with you. He found, went 3 hours later and found more and said, go to work and I'll make it. He went to the last hour of the day, the work day, and he found some that hadn't been at work all day long. He said, you go to work. When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius, or a day's wage. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give the last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am so generous? So the last shall be first and the first last. Some people are going to work. They're going to just be right there from the very beginning to the very last, working. Some are going to come along and be a little, not hit things quite as hard. Some are going to be just what we would think is almost lazy. And our minds think that, well, fairness, we ought to really just pay people that way. But here, the Lord gives the idea, the example, that the one that worked an hour got the same as the one that worked the whole day. There again, that ain't fair. But he reminded the person that you're getting what I agreed to pay you. I'm giving you exactly what I agreed to pay you. Are you so envious or jealous because someone else got it better than you did? They didn't have to work as hard as you. The one who has 5 talents and goes out and makes another 5 talents will be given those 5 talents with the blessing of, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Sometimes we're so concerned about what everybody else is doing, it actually hinders us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. The one that is able and willing and just out there doing it can let what somebody else is not doing bother them so much that they begin to not do what they're supposed to do. That's when it all falls apart. But when everyone just does what they're supposed to do, even though it might not be fair, even though it might not be right, it works. Just like in the family. You know, in the family, when father is doing what he's supposed to do, mother is doing what she's supposed to do, and all the children have their place of what they're supposed to be doing right down the line, it's a beautiful thing. But when people start dropping their ball, instead of just jumping in and picking it up, we start complaining about it. Well, they didn't do it. I'm not going to. Well, they didn't do theirs. I'm not going to. What kind of a miserable attitude does that produce? Pretty soon, we'll have to have political correctness all around us to make sure everything is fair, to make sure nobody is offended, which winds up having everybody offended. That's all it produces. Be a light in the corner that you live in may mean that you have to carry a little extra load for somebody else that's slacking sometime. You might have to take up the slack because little brother didn't get his chores done all right. And so you've got to fix them before you can do yours. If you spend your time looking around at what everybody else is doing, you're failing. Just do what you're supposed to do. Do it happily. Do it with a smile. Make up the difference. And guess what? That's just as contagious as the grumbling and the complaining and the slacking. It grows and grows and grows and grows. It's a disease. And it just begins to infect everyone around you. But you can infect them for good. Do extra. Do more. And do it with a smile. That's the five talents that you're making. That's the bonus that's being made along the way. You're doing what you're supposed to do, and instead of just going equally or going on a straight line, you're going up and above. That's how you improve things. That's how you make five talents, by going the extra. And not worry about it. What if this guy with five would have been so worried about the guy with one not doing what he's supposed to do that he had just decided, I'm not going to do mine either. That guy. How does that affect? That's the result of that kind of an attitude. Said it a lot. The only thing you control and control in life is not whether you got slave chains around your arms, but the attitude that you have. The only thing you can control is your attitude. And that'll spread. That'll grow. That'll gain. Whichever direction you take your attitude. Whichever way you take it, it'll be growing. For good or evil. Life ain't fair. The quicker we learn that, some people can do some things, some people can't. Doesn't make anybody any better or any worse. Some families allow some things, some families don't. We don't have to hide that. We don't have to conform to everything every family's doing. Just because, well, Johnny gets to. Well, Johnny can. So parents tuck their tails, say, oh, okay, I guess we will too. Well, Johnny can. Well, you're not Johnny. The quicker you learn that, the better off you'll be. Well, Johnny got this. Well, so what? You don't. Be happy about it. You got eyes, you got ears, you got legs, you got hands. Be content with some of the simplest blessings that you have. You got ice cream. You didn't. You'll be all right. Life is not fair. When you have a good attitude, whichever end of that we get, may the Lord add His blessings. You don't have anything you want to share?
Made me think about where you just said Romans already told you to go 1 mile or two. I view it as you can have a really good attitude and actually maybe show something, or I know it was trying to show something else in that sense, but just the attitude that you have with that, be contagious of it.
Thank you so much for those words. This thing of, I just see it more and more, you know, myself and with the children, too, the tendency toward socialism and life in general, this equality, this thinking that it has to be equal. I was wondering, I know you really covered it pretty well, but is there any incentives we could give to children in teaching the I can do more, you can do more and be happy, than, you know, things like set the table, well, it's not my turn, you know, clear up, clean up this and that, well, that's so-and-so's turn and everything, just everything just has to be
right.
Perfectly equal, not do an inch more. And teachers in school get extra credit.
Yeah.
You got extra credit. They all gave an incentive to go ahead and do that extra there. Ready?
So well.
I'm trying to impart this to our children.
One of the boys mentioned about the be a happy slave, or to be a good servant. I mean, be a servant as unto the Lord. Do what you're told. If someone tells you to do something, well, it's not, just do it. And it will be has it ever hurt you having to do a little extra? Having to do something for your brother, or do something for your sister? Has it ever just really set you back? What did it cost you? That might be a question. What did it ever cost you doing something a little extra for somebody else? Do you remember, does anybody, any child, have any time that they had to do something extra for their brother and sister that it cost them?
Actually helps them.
Exactly. It don't cost you anything. It gives you the courage to go be out there. It gives you the courage just to take care of things yourself. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Whenever you're a parent and things aren't done, you have to do it. Sometimes children don't get their chores done. Well, guess who has to do it? If something happens or something, they can't do it. Someone has to do it. Take the responsibility and just make sure things are done. Look around you. There's things that need done every day. Young men, if this was your home and something's strung out across the yard, there's a mess out in the yard, you got to wait till, I'm not going to pick that up until Dad says to. Is that what you want at your house? take some initiative and just fix things. Do things yourself.
Isn't there something about we all look for satisfaction, you know, or approval of
right.
those over us, whether we admit it or not? I was just thinking this week, I found out this week that some of my brothers are still dealing with trauma and observing me get beat, is what the terminology they use, growing up, just beat so bad is, they're still dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just look back and think, I can remember now that they say it, but I think it was bad or worse for them going through to watching than it was for me
right.
to go through it. And I just hope that I've given it up long ago. I've forgiven anything, overreaches, and I think back, when did I do that? When did I release all that? And I think it might have been when I asked my daddy about whether I could start dating Monica. And he thought about it for a while, did his homework, and came back and told me I needed to wait a little while, he thinks, for the situation to be better. Wait a little while, so I waited. But then he said, right when he told me I was going to have to wait, he said, I just want you to know, though, that we certainly approve of your direction. I think it was in that moment. Approval is all I ever looked for.
Right.
You know, this is all everything.
Right.
And just release that last thing. I was so glad for that approval there. I wonder,
think
that the blessing. You know, I know you said already how, boy, just to hear the words well done.
Right.
Someday, just all the work you have to want.
Amen. Yeah.
My brother said, I'm just amazed that you would, after being beat so hard, go up and talk with daddy. How did he do that?
Yeah.
He said, I would have clamped up half of that. Or whatever. I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
I look for improvement. I didn't know.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus.